Mama, to be a biblical mama, to be the mama that pleases God. And I would to God that we had more mamas that was full of the Holy Ghost. And what a difference it'd make in our world. Genesis 2, I'm going to read this to you, then I'll read Genesis 2 to you. The Bible says, and we started with this last week, John 6:63 said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." And Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And they are life. The words that I speak unto you. God said, "What I say to you is spiritual and it's life." Okay? If you want life, you latch on to what I say. Now, Genesis chapter 2 says this, verses 1 through 10, and then we'll skip down and read some more. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." Now, I got to stop and take a break here for a second. I said one of those kids a while ago, one of them smart aleck kids made the comment, and I swanny, did I hear somebody say which one of y'all was that? Did I hear you say that? It's amazing that certain individuals go, "Had to be mine. Had to be mine. Michael, that was me. It had to be mine." Well, I said, well, he's talking about one of mine. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Then he said, These are the generations of the heavens of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and put every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I don't want to get off on it, but ladies and gentlemen, that's the Holy Ghost right there, okay? And man became a living soul. God said, "The words I speak unto you, they are life." Man became, but God breathed in, man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden, Eastward in the garden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now we're going to jump down to verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden and dressed it to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam, and to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed." They were naked. No, we're not ashamed. I read all that just because I wanted to give the history of it and a good, clear understanding maybe of where we're going. But I want you to understand that after God, and I'm going to try to stick to some of the notes that I took today. If God wants me to veer, we'll veer. But I want to try to get this simple thought across to you today and give you something. All this is maybe a ponder of my heart. I was thinking, you know, what to say. But I want to preach on this thought today. I want to preach on you are what you eat. If I was to title it, I would title this, you are what you eat. And hopefully by the time we're done, you have a better understanding of that. But after God created man, on reading this context, he considered man's well-being. He considered man's living. He considered his life. And in doing so, he said that man needs food to sustain his life. So after God created man, he created something else to sustain that man in the life that he had given him. God had created life. And here in Genesis, he gives man what he needs to maintain that life. Right? Then he not only let man live, but then he gave man a living. God will give you a living. And we have our own ideas of our living, but God has his idea of a living. God wants man to depend on him for his living in the same way that man depends on God for sustenance. I mean, boy, we say the blessing and we ask God to bless the food and Lord bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. So that our bodies can bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus. And we depend on the Lord to take care of the food and put food on the table. But what about the living that we make? God wants us to depend on him for everything, ladies and gentlemen, just like we would if it was our next meal. Acts 17:28 is one of my favorite thoughts to think about. The Bible says, for in him we live and move and have our being. I like that because everything about us, whether we acknowledge it or not, everything that we have, everything worth having, everything that's life-sustaining, God's blessed us with that. Amen. God give us the health to go out and do the things that we do. He give us a roof over our head. He give us clothes on our back. God just takes care of all of our need according to his riches in glory. We see that in our text, God uses two trees. And he takes these trees to illustrate or demonstrate or to share some truths with you and I. Now, I've never in my life heard anybody, never, not one time in 52 years, heard anybody talk about this thing. And so I want to try to teach it or tell it or preach it and get it more settled in my heart because I'm learning this stuff as we go. I'm studying. This ain't stuff that I got 20 years ago. I mean, got some of it, but it's stuff that the Lord's giving me fresh. The two trees are, number one, the tree of life that's mentioned in our text, the tree of life. And the second tree is, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, two trees. Now, here's what God said. If you eat of this tree, you'll live. But if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Now, the Sunday school teacher had me laughing in Sunday school because deep, once again, was calling unto deep. We didn't plan it. We didn't go over this thing. But he was saying some things earlier that I said, praise God. That's it. Life and death. Life and death. God's going to give life, or God will let you take of that tree of knowledge of good and evil and die. Isn't that amazing? Now, you can either live by life. Listen, you can either live by the tree of life or you can sustain in this world by the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, don't think that this is crazy because the vast majority of the people in the entire world today is sustaining life off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Very few are sustaining life off the tree of life, not partakers. The two different trees show us two different principles that a man can live by. And I think that's what we want to see today. The two different principles. One is a principle of knowledge, and one's a principle of spiritual principle. It's a spiritual life. Two principles. Which one you living by? Are you living by knowledge, or are you living by the Holy Ghost? Are you living by what you know, or are you living by what the Holy Ghost leads you into? It's good. Now you're gonna have to think a little bit, because I'm kind of thick and I don't quite know how to break it down sometimes. But we can live by the principles. Listen, we can live by the principles of right and wrong, which is the knowledge of good and evil. You live by the principles of right or wrong, or you live by the principles of life. Which one you living by? Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, because I make crazy statements every once in a while, I don't back them up, but can I tell you sometimes it's wrong to read your Bible? Preacher has gone crazy. Sometimes it's wrong to read your Bible. Preacher, read my Bible, it's good. I have knowledge, I know that it's good. Yeah, but I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost that sometimes reading your Bible is wrong. Preacher, how can reading the Word of God be wrong? Because if God wants you to get off your sorry hind end and quit reading and go tell somebody, and you continue reading, reading is wrong, friend. You ought to be up telling somebody when God wants you to tell somebody. When it's time to pray, are you listening? When it's time to pray, and God will put that through the power of the Holy Ghost, He'll impress upon you to pray, and you neglect your prayer life, but yet you give in to the reading life. Reading has become wrong because you're disobedient in your prayer life. Preaching can become wrong. When it's time to sing and God wants you to sing His praises, it's not time to preach. If you do preach, preaching is wrong. Sometimes singing is wrong. I've seen them carry on with the singing before, and God was wanting to preach. And they carried on with the singing, stirring the emotions. And I've seen singing grieve God. Are you living by rights and wrongs? Or are you living by the leadership of the Holy Ghost? Is it life that is giving you life? Or is it your knowledge of right and wrong, good and evil, that's leading you through this thing? Good question. Never seen that before. Never seen it before. Thank God that He let me see it. What do you mean, preacher, by saying a person lives according to right and wrong? What do you mean by living according to life? Most people only have the tree of knowledge of good and evil, ladies and gentlemen, in their lives. If it wasn't for the knowledge of good and evil, they wouldn't have anything. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying an ounce of spirituality in their life to fill a thimble. I mean, just ain't none. All they do have is the knowledge of good and evil. Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? This is right. This is wrong. That's all they have. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost gives you life. Amen. Which tree you eating off of? You eating that knowledge? Or you living in the Holy Ghost? He said that I came that you might have life. And I'm going to not just give you life by saving your wretched soul, but I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost and give you an abundant life. The Spirit-filled life. What's moving you? What's guiding you? What's answering your questions, right and wrong? Because I told you a while ago, reading your Bible can become wrong. When it's time to share the Word, it ain't time to sit and read the Word. It's time to go share the Word. When it's time to pray, it ain't time to read. It's time to pray. And vice versa. I'm just trying to tell you, it's amazing how right things can become wrong. But you have to learn this stuff through the Holy Ghost. It ain't about rights and wrongs with Him. You understand? It ain't about what's right and wrong. It's about doing the will of the Father. It's about accomplishing what God wants accomplished. And the only way we can do that, and we're going to go back and say, man, God's not pleased with all this stuff that we do. God's pleased with what He's able to do through us. We're talking about this realness of God and all these things, and all this stuff just ties together. You know, some people have the knowledge of good and evil. Some people are operating in life. Some people are trying to operate in both. They claim to be saved, but yet they still think very carnal. Operating in both. They ain't walking in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost of God ain't able to do His job and minister in their life and in their minds. Our text tells us this. Whoever eats of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, listen, shall surely die. I was thinking about that old movie, The Green Mile. I think about it quite often. Don't promote many movies, but that's actually a pretty good movie. I can remember some guys was on death row and they was headed to the electric chair. How that guard would sit there and holler, "Dead man walking! Dead man walking! Dead man walking!" You would be amazed, ladies and gentlemen, if the Holy Ghost was to, with an audible voice, cry out this morning as men and women all over America walked across the parking lots of their independent fundamental Baptist church, and the Holy Ghost said, "Dead men walking! Dead men walking! Dead men walking! They're here because it's the right thing to do today." Didn't come because of me. They come because it's right. Here's what God said you're going to do in that. God said you're going to die. God said, go ahead. Do it because it's the right thing. You're a dead man walking. That's what you are. Isn't that amazing? The tree of knowledge of good and evil produces death in a life. But the life in Jesus Christ produces life in an individual. Amen. I'm saying this morning because many people has a salvation that is nothing more than death. They do what they do. Listen, hey friend, they're right. Do you understand? You can't. They're so squeaky clean. I'm telling you, man, you can't hardly find a spot or a blemish in them. But here's the problem. That's their salvation. They only do it because it's right. And that's all they know, what's right and wrong. Don't know the Holy Ghost. Spirit of God ain't never done nothing in their life like that. They don't know Him. They don't know that life. They can tell you what right and wrong. They can tell you all about doctrine. I'll tell you something about your doctrine. I love doctrine. Thank God for doctrine. If all you got is doctrine, you're headed straight to hell. There's people that's walking perfectly in their doctrine this morning that's going to die and go to hell. You better learn how to get in that doctrine and the Holy Ghost. You're a dead man in your doctrine. Your doctrine's dead without the Holy Ghost of God. We need the Holy Ghost, friend. We need the Holy Ghost. All the words I speak unto you, they're spiritual words. They're spirit in their life. Otherwise, it's just death. Oh, that's right. So what? Who gives a flip if it's right? The will of God doesn't operate in right and wrong. We said that the other day. Was it right for that ugly mob to say the things that they said about Him? No, sir. When they was crucifying Him, when they cussed Him and spit upon Him and pulled the hair out of His face, and when they put that crown of thorns, when they cast lots for His garment, hey, when they was bruised and rejected and despised of men, when He was acquainted with grief, He was a man of, man, that's Jesus, that's God. That wasn't right to do Him like that. But it was God's will. God don't operate in right and wrong. Goes so far beyond right and wrong. Right and wrong is death to Him. He'll let some things really bad happen to accomplish His will. I think He sent a lying spirit over there to get His will accomplished in one of them man's lives. Right. I've seen homes fall completely apart. And that way, boy, when that thing got real stupid and fell apart, God was able to intervene in this thing. It wasn't right. People sitting inside this congregation this morning, this little old congregation that has had their world turned upside down, inside out, but look at what God's able to do through all that. For the first time in some people's lives, they've been able to sit down underneath gospel preaching. Amen. I mean, had the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ laid into their lap. Isn't that amazing? Otherwise, they might not have never got to hear it. Pretty good. Thank God for it. If a man wants to know how to live, he's going to have to partake of the tree of life. There's another principle. We won't look at it very much. But there's a principle of sin that a man lives by. And usually it comes from fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And a lot of people live based on that principle. They're just going to do whatever their flesh asks for. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to deal with that one today. I want to deal with the idea that sinners, that lost people, that heathens will replace a relationship with Jesus Christ with a tree of knowledge of good and evil. They will replace a walk with God, a spirit-filled life, a relationship with Him, an abundant life in Christ with a knowledge of good and evil. And I said a while ago, son, they're squeaky clean. You couldn't put a finger on some things in their life. But they don't know God. Don't know God. Then a person in this field today, I'd say, would be any cleaner than the Pharisees. But they didn't know God. And boy, it's so easy for us to sit here and look over there at them and say, boy, they were sorry. They were something up. They were wicked. But you know what? Some of us is in the same boat. All we have is knowledge of good and evil. Sinners will replace their relationship with Jesus with the principle of right and wrong. I say this because if you've ever partaken of the tree of life, ladies and gentlemen, one of the easiest things to do is to listen to people talk and watch people live and see the residue on their life and know, well, all they got is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They really ain't. It ain't spiritual at all. And once you have the real thing, you understand it's easy to discern this stuff. And can I give that old illustration again at the bank? Where they don't practice knowing counterfeit by handling counterfeit. They know counterfeit money by handling the real thing. And they've looked at the real thing and handled the real thing so much that when they do get something fake, trips a trigger. That's the same way with salvation. Once you ever do get a hold of Jesus, if you ever do take of the tree of life, if you ever do ever taste and see that the Lord is good, I tell you what will happen. You'll recognize the counterfeits. Recognize it. It don't take long. Let me insert this right here. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, I know that it might leave a cloud of dust in your mind, but sometimes I don't say things on purpose. I leave things out sometimes on purpose. Because if I were to tell people all the truth that I know, here's what happens in the world that we live in. People learn how to copy what you're saying. And although they got the counterfeit, if you let all the beans out, here's what they'll do. They'll put on the Ritz, friend, and they'll even pick up what you said and learn how to perfect what you just said and act like that's real in their life. So I don't even tell everything. Well, I was in Black Creek last year, if y'all remember. And they asked me to preach, and I preached out of 2 Chronicles 7:14 that you was just tearing up over in Sunday school. If my people, which are called by my name, if people would get right with God, God would heal our land. Now that's the Bible. My uncle was telling us all about these GMOs and stuff the other day, and all these free radicals in the body and all that. You know what I kept thinking? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If people just get right with God, God take care of all this stuff. I don't care what nobody said. Just old dumb country boy that believes the Bible. Amen. I ain't one of them ignorant country boys that don't believe the Bible. I believe it. I believe it. And you say, why would you say that? Because you don't have to be real educated. Amen. God didn't write it for a bunch of educated folks. He wrote it for common man, normal people. These little kids can get a hold of it. They can understand it. Amen. Amen. I found out the ones with the biggest brains are the ones that have the biggest problems with it. That's right. They're too smart for God. That's right. Too smart for God.
That's where the Calvinists come from. You understand? Them guys are smarter than God. That's where that stuff will get you, in the Calvinism and false doctrine and heresies. And, right, sure. Right. Get you in hell's where it'll get you.
Yeah.
Now, last year, I was up there in Black Creek, and I made that statement, Michael. I can tell within a few seconds when a man walks up on me what kind of prayer life he's got. I said, I can tell within a few seconds what kind of prayer life a human being has got. Within a few seconds of them walking up in that building, I know whether that man's a praying man or not. I know. He's got the marks of a praying man on him. And see, I didn't tell how I know. You say, why? Because we got people today that's religious enough, and they eat so much of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they start practicing what I said just to make it look like they're praying people. That's right. That's what the knowledge of good and evil, that's what it produces in people. But that tree of life, ladies and gentlemen, it ain't trying to copycat. It ain't trying to put on the wrist. It is what it is. What you see is what you get. And I'm telling you, old boys and gals, they just praying. They praying. Hey, amen. I'm glad I met some people with the marks of prayer in their life. Man. Hey, amen. It don't take long to tell if a man prays or not. Takes about 2 seconds to tell if a man prays or not. I wouldn't dare tell you how to save your life. Wouldn't dare tell you. You're trying to fake it. You'd be over at the house practicing it. Trying to fool somebody. Trying to fool the next preacher that came by. Not me, but the next preacher. Y'all do pretty good with me. Well, what is the principle of right and wrong? I'm asking some questions. We'll see some of these statements. What is the principle of right and wrong? If our life is controlled by what's right, listen to me real good now, because I don't want you to walk away from here confused, thinking, well, I can just do wrong. Listen to me real clear, because it's amazing how my words get twisted. It's one reason why I like to record, so I have a recording of what I said and didn't say. You'd be surprised how many times I've needed that recording. You believe that? You believe that? You'd be surprised how many times I need to go back and replay some things that I've said and didn't say. It's amazing. Thank God for recordings. Thank you, Lord. What is the principle of right and wrong? What is living by the principle of doing right and wrong? If our life is controlled by what's right or by what's wrong, then we ask if something is right or wrong, whenever we have to make a decision, whenever you take a peek at something, whenever something approaches you, whenever you have to make a choice, whenever you have to make a decision, when that thought process starts going, this is not right, this is wrong, or this is wrong, or this is right. I should do this because of this. I should do this because of that. I shouldn't do this because it's wrong. It's evil. It's bad. Hey, listen real good. If that is your thought process, you are living the principle of knowledge of good and evil. You should not think, is this right or wrong? Now, Brother Sandy used to always say, if you have to question if it's right or wrong, don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't sit around and deal with it. Hey, if you have to question it, just stay away from it. Pretty good principle. That's a pretty good principle. But listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. If you get out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you don't have to sit around and start thinking, I don't do this because, hey, why don't you drink liquor? Don't answer the question. Why ain't everybody smoking a big old fat blunt before you come up in here this morning? Why come you ladies wasn't over at the juke joint last night twerking? I mean, do they still do that? I might be out of date. I don't know. Wonder why you ladies wasn't out there at the juke joint? Because it's wrong. We have to think. This is not good. It's not right. I mean, why don't you smoke? Why ain't we got a porch full of people? Thank God 10,000 times we don't have a porch full of people out there smoking cigarettes, putting their nasty butts out on the sidewalk. Thank God for that. Goodness, used to grieve me when I was a kid to have to walk through that stupid junk. Stupid sucker sitting out there smoking cigarettes. Everybody come to church had to walk through it. And just terrible. Why? Why don't you cuss? Oh, it's not right, preacher.
And you can prove to me why it's not right. But that's the wrong principle to live by. I don't cuss because it's not right. I don't cuss a lot. I don't cuss a lot because it's not right. I don't drink, ladies and gentlemen, because it's not right. I don't. God knows I'd love to have me a big old dent. God knows I'd like to have a dent. I'd get me a chew of Red Man or Levi Garrett. I believe I can eat a chew. My flesh loves it. You know, the day I quit wasn't because I was good, but it wasn't because it was wrong. I didn't quit because it was wrong. People quit smoking because it's wrong. They joined the church. People quit drinking because it's wrong. They joined the church. Let me tell you something. That's death, ladies and gentlemen. Why do you think our churches and our Christian lives are in such a mess today? Why do you think there's no spirit, no life? Why do you think it's so dead today? Why do you think your average band, I mean even the ones that's got drums on the platform, are twice dead, plugged up by the roots. Why do you think it's so everybody is living by the knowledge of good and evil? They're basing what they do on what's right and what's wrong, and God's not even interested in what's right and what's wrong. And I'm going to prove it, hopefully. Would it be good to do what I'm doing? Would it be evil? That's the wrong principle of life. Do you understand? God put two trees in the Garden of Eden, and God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to protect, hey, that tree of life, that is for you. But that tree of knowledge of good and evil, that's going to kill you. That's death. Stay away from it. Don't eat of it. Don't eat of it. Don't eat of it. And I know Eve had a little bit, but there's nothing even wrong with what she added. Don't even touch it. Don't even touch it. Just stay away from it. Abstain. It's evil, ladies and gentlemen. Abstain. Well, what people are basically asking, and you try to convince them, hey, listen, am I doing what's right? And you let a man examine the matter that he's made a decision in, and he's made up his mind that I'm doing the thing that is right. It's right to do what I'm doing. And you get in a debate with that guy, and you try to prove him how wrong he is, he'll take that to his grave that he's right. He's made up his mind. That's settled. He's right. And God said, go ahead. It's producing death in your life, not life. Well, when someone carefully considers a certain matter, they determine whether it is good or right to do that thing. Now, I think we need to really listen because we're eat up with this stuff. By taking care to decide whether or not something is good and right, people consider themselves to be in good standings with God. Do you know that you can do everything good and right that you possibly was faced with in a day, and you can go to bed tonight and be a complete grief to God, and everything you've done was good and right, and God is grieved at you? That's amazing, isn't it? I did the right things. I didn't respond wrong. I said the right things. I acted the right ways, and God is sickened by it all. God just assumed you'd have said the wrong thing. He just assumed you reacted the wrong way. Because we think for some reason by doing these things that puts us in a right relationship with Jesus. And all that is a substitute for relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus said when you live this way, when this is the principle of your life, you are a dead man walking. Produces death. The Bible says in Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And here's what the devil has done. He's so blinded us. He has so bamboozled us that he's got us to think, man, this is the way of God. This is the way to be. This is the way to do. This is the life to live. And he's turned this thing around that Christians are all about doing right and doing the good. And man, we're so right with God. And God said, the day that you partake of that religion, it's death in your life. You know how many people is going to go to hell doing the right things? Do you know how many good people, speaking on this context, do you know how many good people, and I know there's none good, but do you know how many good people doing good are going to die in their goodness and in their rightness and go to hell? You know what this is called? Discerning good and evil. Okay, let's give you a hand. Let's give each other a hand. You discern good and evil. You're still going to hell. Hey, I know drunks on the bar stool that cuss every breath they take, and they know the difference between good and evil. I know I've heard prostitutes on the street. Hey, listen, I've heard women that's got saved by the grace of God. They used to sell themselves on the street. They recognized the difference between good and evil. They knew when they was out there what they were. Right. They knew it was wrong. All it is choosing and rejecting. Choosing good and rejecting evil. I said God don't operate in that. God's not basing his will and his life on good or evil. No. It's not Christianity, ladies and gentlemen. Doing good and doing right is not the basis of Christianity. Christianity is not based on outward good or outward evil. You look at people and go, man, that sucker's a good dude. He's a Christian. No, he's not. Not because he's a good man. Not because he does the right things. No more than he's not a Christian because he's evil. Doesn't mean he is. Doesn't mean he isn't. Preacher, help me with this. Go study your Bible. Old Testament religion was good. Old Testament, before Jesus, hey, fulfilling the law was good. It was right. That's Old Testament stuff, man. I mean, that's where you was at with Moses and the prophets. Doing right, doing good. Making the right choices and things. You don't want to know why? Come here. You want to know why? Because the Holy Ghost hadn't been given yet. We had to do good. We had to do right. The Holy Ghost wasn't given yet. Now we have the Holy Ghost. He's good. He's right. And whatever he says, that's what we do. We don't drink because it's wrong. We don't drink because the Holy Ghost don't want us to drink. We got all the liberty in the world to do whatever we want to do. But there's something on the inside of me that it produces something in there when I do grieve him. And I don't want to break that fellowship with him. Oh, I have all the liberty to do it. But I don't want to break that fellowship. It ain't about right and wrong. It's about walking with God. It's about walking in the fullness of God. It's about that abundant life. It's about not grieving the Father. It's about not grieving the Spirit. It's about fellowship and a relationship with Jesus Christ. What is a relationship? I say stuff about it quite a bit. Relationship is life in Christ Jesus. That's what a relationship is. Do you have life or do you have knowledge? Are you still making choices based on whether they're right or wrong? Are you still doing things because it's right or wrong? Are you doing things because of Jesus Christ? Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things, that's why I do right, because all things are passed away. All things are because, I don't give a flip about your ideas, what's right and wrong. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about the Holy Ghost. Tell me about the Spirit of God convicting you. Tell me about the Holy Ghost leading you into this truth. You don't never hear that no more, Zach. Don't ever hear that. Well, the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost led me into this. Well, I tell you, people do their own thinking, whether it's right or wrong. God said, that's producing death in your life. But if you let the Holy Ghost lead you into that, it'll produce life in your life. I want to get somewhere before we're done. Ladies and gentlemen, a relationship with Jesus Christ is not an outward standard of right and wrong, but it's based on your inner life, the new man. That's a relationship. That's Christianity. Isn't it amazing that people that ain't never had an experience with the inner life know exactly how a Christian ought to be? Listen to this. Many people substitute inner life, salvation, Jesus, walking in the Spirit. How about this one, Zach? I believe you mentioned something like this in Sunday school. Walking in obedience. Walking in obedience. That's the inner life. It ain't about right and wrong. It's about obedience to that still small voice. It's about obedience to God. It's about obedience to the Word of God. It ain't about right and wrong. I'm not basing on what's right and what's wrong. I want to know what God says about it. Ain't that what you said in Sunday school? If a child of God lives by the same standard of right or wrong, it makes them no different than a worldly person. Well, this is right. Guess what? That's what the world can do. But the world can't live by the Holy Ghost. They can't live under that leadership and direction of the Holy Ghost. I hope by me saying some of these comments or things that I say that enlightens us. We can better see what and where we are with God. Because we need to understand, why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing this because it's right? Or am I doing this because this is God? Is this what pleases God? Or is this just the right thing to do? And so many of us do it because it's just the right thing to do. Now watch this. There are many things which are considered right to do, but the Holy Ghost in me will not allow me to do them. There's a lot of things, Michael, that is right and good, but the Holy Ghost won't let me do them. Isn't that amazing? I said the Holy Ghost won't let me do some right things. It's not wrong. It's not evil. But yet the Holy Ghost won't allow me to do it. It's amazing, isn't it? Because it ain't about right and wrong. It's about God. And what he's after. I'm trying to hem haw. If you don't understand, I'm trying to hem haw. Michael, last week, Zach. I should probably call you Brother Zach. Brother Zach was doing Sunday school when he got in the Holy Ghost doing Sunday school. And I recognize him. Sometimes he's just over there operating in his own. Whatever his wife tells him. And then sometimes he gets over in the Holy Ghost and it gets real good. Right? It gets real good sometimes. And last week was one of the times where he got the Holy Ghost and it got real good. Would you believe that I wanted to go over to those kids in Sunday school and I had something on my mind that was good and right? I really wanted to go over and share some stuff with the children in the Sunday school just for a few minutes. And it would have been good for them. It would have been right for them to hear. There was nothing whatsoever evil or wrong about it. And I sat right there, Miss Debbie, and I went to get up one time, and the Holy Ghost said, no. And I examined what I was doing. I need to go tell them. And I waited a few minutes, Michael, and I went to get up again, and I actually moved. My body flinched, and the Holy Ghost said, no. And I went through that process one more time, and I said, okay, now'll be a good time for me to go. And I got up to go, and I got up the third time, made a move, and the Holy Ghost said, no! Sit still. That's what the Holy Ghost said to me. Be still. Don't you dare get up. There was nothing wrong with what I had to say to them children. There was everything right with what I had to say. It would have been good for them. It would have been a blessing to them. It would have probably helped somebody. But you know what? The Holy Ghost said, I don't care how good it is. I don't care how right it is. I don't care how much it's going to help them. You be still. We don't know the Holy Ghost from a jackass.
That's right. No.
We wouldn't know him from a jackass. What'd you do? I just be stilled. Just be stilled. Yeah. Not because I was good. Not because I was right. But because the Father said be still. Because I'd have got up and I don't know what it would have hindered. I didn't ask. I don't know what it would have done or would not have done. I didn't ask. I just know that I went to get up three times and the Holy Ghost said no. And I stayed in my seat. And God was pleased with that. At least I didn't grieve him with that. Right and wrong. What I'm saying is, right and wrong is determined by an outward standard, but not by the Holy Ghost. It's determined by an outward thing. Anybody can do that. Anybody can determine right and wrong. We used to have a neighbor that was retarded, and Stephanie's cousin, and I often told her, well, I better not tell you what I told her, it's Mother's Day, but it does run in the family. And Miss Ann come over to the house, and I say it runs in the family because I think he was retarded. He had better sense than all of them. I mean, he was clean. The rest of them wouldn't take baths. And I went, well, he's got better sense than them on that. Amen. Well, at least he'd wash every day, multiple times every day. Maybe he was crazy because he washed his hands more than 10 times a day. 30 times. You know, people get the shower over and over every day.
Ann come over to the house, Michael, his mama, and we had some peanuts over there.
And I'm sorry, M&M peanuts. And M&M peanuts, that crazy woman, they called her son retarded. She got to eating them peanuts out of my bowl. Them M&M peanuts, and she sucked all the chocolate off of them and spit the peanut out on my coffee table. My blood pressure's blowing up. This ain't about Christianity. It's about you spitting them peanuts on my table, lady. And then she scoops them up, and I'm just weird and crazy in what she does. I see, like, moisture streak on the table where that spill was left behind, and she wiped her spill. Basically, she spit on the coffee table. And she took the things in her hand and looked at my son, Jacob. Of all children, don't do it to Jacob. Jacob is the least one that I would have. She said, here, Jake, throw these away for me. Jake said, have you lost your mind? Are you crazy? Did you and Patrick just trade brains? I'm not touching them peanuts. You want to throw it away? You thought,
oh, Lord, have mercy, what a situation.
But there old Patrick was, you know, I'm talking about determining right and wrong. And I don't know what was right and wrong about them peanuts, but my sister-in-law, she used to mess around with Patrick. He was in love with Stephanie McMahon. How many of y'all know who Stephanie McMahon is? You're wicked. Stephanie McMahon is Vince McMahon's daughter on WWE wrestling, okay? And if you know who I'm talking about, you have to be wicked. WWE, are you kidding me? Miss Tony sneaks around behind Michael and watches WWE. Stephanie McMahon was on WWE, and Miss Tony, I know who Stephanie McMahon was too. And he was in love with her. And so she told my sister-in-law, Lori, you got to know her. She told her, I know Stephanie McMahon. I got her number. You can call. And she gave her Stephanie's number. That boy called my wife 2,500 times a day. And he would call her up and, boy, we loved it. I love you, I want to marry you. He would sing, I love you, I want to marry. And I'm like, yeah, y'all married cousins, how you got the message you're in now? Your family marrying up on each other, why you got the problems you got? I love you. Oh, he was going to wine or die. I take you to McDonald's. I buy you a cheeseburger. And he was singing all this. And so every once in a while, I would answer the phone. I'd make out like, how many of y'all know who Triple H is? Hunter Hurst Hemsley. I'd say, this is Triple H. No, her brother Shane. I'm telling all my secrets. This is Shane. I'd say, this is Shane McMahon, her brother. He'd say, can I speak to Steve? I say, I got her locked up in the bathroom. Don't do that. And we go, and he's, don't caulk that again. Don't start that again. He said, don't caulk that again. And I thought he was talking about caulk in the tub. I'm not lying. I'm not making this up. I'm not making fun. I thought he was talking about caulking. So, don't caulk that again. I'm going, what's he talking about caulking for? But he was saying, don't start that again. Because he would call back. I said, she's locked up there. She's been acting crazy. We locked her in the bathroom. Don't caulk that again. I loved old Patrick. You hear me? I really liked that old boy. And I was telling all this old crazy stuff because my sister-in-law, she would say things to him that was inappropriate about Stephen McMahon. And here's what Patrick said. Retarded. He was retarded. He'd say, my mama killed me. My mama killed me. You said, what are you talking about? I said, even a retard knows right from wrong. That ain't life. I mean, bud, I'm talking about somebody that thought my wife was standing with a man that has nothing to do with standing with a man. And my Lord have mercy. But you talking about making that old boy's dreams come true to think he got to talk to standing with a man. He thought he was something. Oh, man, you. But you got to get rid of Triple H. My mama killed me. Ladies and gentlemen, right and wrong ain't life. Right and wrong can be determined by somebody that's got a mental defeatility. So, somebody that's missing that chromosome or got an extra one. I mean, somebody that's messed up in the head, they can understand right from wrong. So what? You get, good for you. You know right from wrong. Good. Oh, okay, good. It's death. What about the Holy Ghost? I'll quit. I can remember a family in Lawrie, the guy's pastoring today. As far as I know, he's a fine man. And he's pastoring today. And I remember in Lawrie, he had, I think, two or three girls. And I know he had two, maybe three. I can't remember exactly. But he had a good job, Michael, and he quit his job working for the tire company. And I can remember them struggling. I can remember them going through hard times. And I remember going through hard times. And so when other people go through hard times, man, I think about them, you know, man. And I pity sometimes, and I move with compassion, and I want to be a blessing to them, and I want to try to help them. Hey, listen, talking about doing the right things, and the Holy Ghost won't let you. And I can remember one night that I was moved with compassion, and I wanted to go give the old boy some money, and I didn't have no money, but I wanted to give him what little bit I did have. And when I say that, I mean, we really didn't have no money. but I had a few dollars, and I wanted to take it to them and maybe buy them some groceries or something. You know, the Holy Ghost wouldn't let me. The Holy Ghost wouldn't let me. I tried to give that boy money, and God said no. And I didn't ask God why, but God said, I want him to go through what he's going through, and I don't need you to bail him out because I got him where I want him. You know what I was trying to do was a right thing. I was trying to do a good thing, and God said no. And if I'd have done that, it would have so displeased God by me doing right and by me doing good, making a good choice, trying to be a blessing to somebody. It would have displeased God. God don't operate like we operate. And until we get in the Holy Ghost and follow His leadership, we don't know nothing about it. All we can do is what the world does, judge right from wrong and eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When we operate or function or move based upon what we think is okay or not okay, we're just thinking worldly. Just what the world does. Does your Bible say this or does it not say this? That the Holy Ghost will lead you into all truth. Does it say that He will lead you and guide you? Is that what it says? Then, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what it means. Although this might be right, God might lead you away from that somewhere else. Hey, listen, man, it might seem crazy to everybody in the world, But I tell you, if it's God, we better get on board with it. It don't have to make sense. It don't have to make human logic. You don't have to meet up with that. As long as it glorifies God, that's what matters. As long as it pleases the Father. Let me ask you a question. Are you doing what you're doing because it is right? Are you not doing what you're not doing because it is wrong? If that is your standard of living, then you're eating from the wrong tree. Right. Many times, ladies and gentlemen, something can be right. And you might agree. But man, it just don't stir. It ain't deep calling unto deep. It don't stir up the amen living on the inside of you. I've done right things before and walked away just completely grieved. You say, well, they needed to hear it. Somebody needed to tell them. God wasn't pleased with that. It was right. It was right. I mean, it was 100%. God was so displeased with that. It's amazing. I've done that so many times. Done the right thing and displeased God and realized immediately, man, fellowship had been broken. Lord, help me. Wouldn't it be something if we learned how to operate in the Holy Ghost and we did what we did because it pleased God or not pleased God? Wouldn't it be something? Not because of what's right or wrong. And see, that's religion. You understand? That's all, you know, halo stuff, man. Goody two-shoes. And that's where America church is today, doing what's right and not doing what's wrong. But the Holy Ghost. Why do you think we need so much encouraging today? Why do you think everybody's got them a message? What to do when you don't know what to do? I hate them messages. I don't even call them messages. Little sermons. I hate the little candy sermons. What to do when you don't know what to do and they spend 45 minutes saying something and they could have said it in one or two sentences. Wouldn't have took them 5 seconds to say what all they had to say. Put it in a nutshell, wouldn't have took 2 seconds to say it. I'm going to tell you why, because we're eating all of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and everybody's running around depressed, and ain't nobody got no real joy, ain't nobody got no fullness of the Holy Ghost, and I mean, ain't but a handful of folks anymore, man, that you meet that's even spiritual-minded, and now we got to try to uplift people all the time, because people are constantly going to the wrong tree. Why'd you go to church? Why do you go to church? Man, it's the right thing to do. Tell you what, I've been in some churches where it would have been more right to stay home and watch Roy Rogers than it would for me to have been there. That's right. There's more principles in a good Roy Rogers Western than they are a lot of these churches today. They're more beneficial to you. Well, I'm done with this. I've seen people and myself, we'll pick up after lunch. I've seen people and myself say things that were 100% right, but it grieved God on the inside of me so bad, so bad. My goodness, man, it was right. But immediately, God was grieved. Man, what did I do? What did I say? Oh, boy, I wish I hadn't said that. Husbands and wives, you can tell your spouse the truth, but sometimes God is really grieved for what you just said. And it was right. It was the truth. But it didn't please God. And we'll delve into that maybe a little bit further after lunch. Look at a few other verses. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that God gave us two things to partake of in that garden. And one of them is of ourself, which produces death, but the other one is of Him and produces life. And boy, I would to God that we would get over there in the tree of life. Amen. The tree of life. And we could start operating in the Holy Ghost. And you say, man, I do what I do because of the grace of God. I am what I am because of the grace of God. I don't do it because it's right or wrong. I do it because it pleases God. It's a world difference. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to stand here and share your word. God, I pray that you could take my feeble efforts and make sense out of all of it, God, in the hearts and lives of people. God, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I want to thank you for this special day, God, to honor mothers. And
What a great thing it is, God, to be a godly mother. We want to thank you for it, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd bless them. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the food that we're about to eat. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Can I make a statement? Next week, because of Mother's Day, I'm a little bit slow. Can we just take
the mothers and let them have off and go down to Statesville maybe and feed the mothers? Huh? Take them out to eat. Take you mothers out to eat at the restaurant of my choice, the one that I like to eat at. That way you ain't got to worry about cooking. We'll just take y'all out. It's all on Zach. All right.